Now we'll get into the Trump trial for just a little bit. The Stormy Daniels hush money case. It's unconstitutional. That might be a bit of an exaggeration. But the legal precedent in this country is you can't be tried the same crime. And this was already taken to court. He was already taken to court over this back when he was president. The Stormy Daniels, if you remember. This was one of the first scandals of his presidency, the Stormy Daniels thing. He was already in court for this. And so why are we here now over the same alleged crime? Why are we here now? Why are we prosecuting this a second time when you don't prosecute the same person for the same crime? It's political persecution. It's political persecution. And quite frankly, they don't have much left to fight him with. Because everything that he campaigned on before is now increasingly becoming mainstream policy positions. Everything that they were able to call him an extremist for before is now mainstream policy positions for not necessarily the Democrat Party, but for the voters in this country. Democrats now want border security. When I saw some of the numbers, because I usually steer clear of the polls ever since 2020, I saw some polls, and it was just Democrats. Majorities, clear majorities, saying that what's happening is an invasion, saying that the United States shouldn't be sending money to other countries, but we should be protecting our own border, saying that border security is a top issue, like 70%. I almost cried. I almost cried. And partially because, you know, it's just a beautiful sight. It's like watching that family member who a little slow on the take finally come around something, but they did it on their own. You weren't there to guide them. They finally did it. Just so proud. Just so proud of my Democrat brothers. But it happened. Democrats are aboard border security now. And it was also a sort of vindication, you know, because I keep telling you guys. Now, I'm sure that you probably believe me by now. But I keep saying it. America's not that damn divided. America is not as divided as we and many others like to believe that we are. And every day that goes by is just further proof of that. Democrats want border security. And that says everything that needs to be said. And not only that, but they were in favor of a wall. And I think this is the effect of Texas. I think Texas played a direct role in this. Because it's one thing to think about a wall when immigration isn't necessarily that bad, when there's arguments still floating around about, no human is illegal, and people aren't really aware of the drug trafficking, and the sex trafficking, and the human trafficking, and the child trafficking, literal modern-day slavery going on in the southern border. You know, when people aren't aware of all that, when people aren't aware of the fentanyl crisis, and how bad it is, and that it's all coming from the southern border, when people aren't aware of this, and when people aren't seeing these massive numbers of people just crossing the border, you know, they don't think about it. Oh, a wall? Why would you want to do that? That's racist. But now that the floodgates are open, and these people are being bussed into their cities, now they can start to see the problem. Now they go, oh, wait a second. Whoa. We actually can't take in all these people. And of course, it started infamously with Martha's Vineyard, where they got a taste of their own strength. You know, diversity is our strength. They got a taste of their own strength, and they couldn't handle it. They were afraid. They had to send the migrants back to where they came. Not out of the country, of course, but, you know, out of Martha's Vineyard. And this has been happening around the country, and Democrats are seeing the consequences of their policies. And like rational people, they're going, okay, this is a problem. This isn't what I thought it was. I was lied to. We need border security. And it doesn't help that a lot of the people coming over here are making the neighborhoods that they're dropped into less safe. It doesn't hurt that a lot of these people are committing crimes. Again, do we need to get into Lake and Riley? Killed by an illegal immigrant who should have been deported twice prior to that incident even happening, who now roams the streets free after bashing someone's skull in, after raping them? And again, that story made a lot of people's heads turn. Border security is now a top issue for Democrats. America is not that damn divided. And the division is actually shrinking, if you can believe it. Not only were we not that divided, but the divide is actually shrinking because of the issues. And people are going, oh, Trump was right about that. Oh, Trump was talking about that. Oh. So wait a second. If this is really a problem, and Trump was talking about it being a problem way back then, in 2015, 2016, I was lied to by all these other guys. And that's another thing. That's another thing. When Democrats realize that they are lied to, they don't forgive, right? They don't forgive that. When they realize that they are lied to, they don't forgive. Now, it might take them a lot of convincing to get them to realize that they are lied to on this policy or that policy. But when they realize that they're lied to, and the degree to which they were lied to by the people that they trusted, that's an unforgivable offense. And to be fair, with how much trust and faith they put into the people who lied to them, it should be. It should be. And now we're at this point. Where Democrats who would never, like, forget the walk away campaign. Democrats who were just never going to vote for Trump are now considering it. Are now saying, we need Trump back. Just random street interviews of people in the big cities. What do you think about Trump or Biden? Trump. Why Trump? My life. He put money in the hands of the people. You know. People were able to live under Trump. They can't live under Biden. And that's as simple as it gets. Beyond policy, beyond we believe this, we believe that. I could live my life under the orange man. I can't live under Biden. And these people know that they have nothing to offer the American people. They don't want to offer the American people anything. They just want to rob us blind of our tax money and then make off like bandits. And, you know, perpetuate the cycle of constant money laundering, using our money as the catalyst for it. Not their money. They get paid. The government gets paid in tax money. It's not their money. It's ours. They use our money for this shit. And they get attitudes when we say that we are entitled to some of that money that came from us to begin with, right? They don't want to do it. They don't want to offer the American people anything. But they can't let us go in with Trump. Because if Trump ever got a mandate, like I'm talking real supermajorities in terms of the people being behind him in his policy and supermajorities or sufficiently large majorities in the House and Senate, if he ever got that, it would be the end for these people. Because he wouldn't, especially now that they've persecuted him as much as they have. And the Stormy Daniels trial is just the latest potentially the closest to being successful. You know, successful at putting him in jail. This is just one of many, many, many attempts. I mean, how many felony charges does this guy have? 94, or are we in the hundreds now? Like, they're levying all these charges, all these accusations, because that's what it is, accusations, because they can never convict him of anything. They can never convict this man of a crime without breaking the law. And even while they're breaking the law, they still can't convict him. Not one of these days they're going to get him. They'll break the law to do it. And because they break the law to do it, I mean, they're talking about the jurors for the Hush Money case, and nearly half of them quit because they said that they are not impartial for this trial, which is something that is actually pretty respectable. To say that I'm not impartial, you really shouldn't be putting me on a jury, that's respectable and is a good sign for the country that people, at least, that many people out of, you know, supposedly a random sampling of peers, it is a good sign for the country that many people still had enough integrity as people to say, I'm not impartial, don't put me on this jury. Because a lot of people who hate Trump wouldn't, or just aren't going to do that. They want to get him, right? Like those voters who voted for Nikki Haley, who switched sides specifically so they could vote for Nikki Haley to screw over Trump, and then they're going to go vote for Biden in November. It's like, well, okay. There's your ideologues. Because remember, back when that caucus happened, the Iowa caucus, it was like, well, the Trumpers, the Trump supporters, they're just so extremist. So many of them came to vote for Trump in the middle of a blizzard. Well, look at all these people who switched sides to vote for Nikki Haley. That's partisanship. And you remember all the cope about how the turnout was the lowest in ages. No shit, it was a fucking blizzard. which one is it? Are they ideologues, or is this low voter turnout? Which one is it? Because if they're fanatics, I don't think a blizzard's going to stop them. Especially with the narrative that they're fanatics and they were willing to walk through a blizzard to vote for Donald Trump. Well, okay, if that's the case, then why were the numbers so unbelievably low? It's like, it is very entertaining to watch the Trump haters hate to the degree that they do. And then admit that he's right on this issue. And then admit that he's right on that issue. But they're still going to hate him. Never going to vote for him, but then he's right on this issue. It's very fun. It's very fun, I'll admit. It's a part of the process. It's a part of the process. But going back to the trial, going back to the persecution, I should say, they have no option but to persecute this man. Because they know that they have nothing to offer the American people, and they know that they don't want to offer America anything. They know that he does have something to offer them. And they know that Americans are more and more, as America witnesses the results of the Uniparty's policies, because it's not Democrats and Republicans, it's the Uniparty and MAGA. There's the difference, right? And so you realize that that's the real difference in the halls of our Congress, not Republican Democrat. As we see the results of Uniparty policy and compare that to what Trump was offering up, no one wants what these people have to offer. This is a shitty deal. This is a raw deal. We're getting raw dogged with their deal. Trump was giving us a square deal. A fair deal. People want what Trump is selling. And more and more, as more of these consequences of the policies that we were told were just so great, and that Donald Trump was just so evil, you actually want open borders. You actually want all these illegal immigrants to come in, because we're a nation of immigrants, you know, weaponizing our identity against us, weaponizing our faith against us, weaponizing everything that we hold dear against us to get us to consent to things that we would never consent to otherwise, you know, as the consequences of that makes itself apparent, as the consequences of rising poverty in the United States, as we're sending hundreds of billions to foreign countries, crumbling infrastructure in the United States while we're sending hundreds of billions to foreign countries, veterans out on the street while we're funding the pensions of Ukrainian veterans. It's like, hold on now. That's unacceptable. Hundreds of billions of dollars to defend Ukraine's border, but our border is wide open. Now, hold on now. That's unacceptable. And that's the conclusion being reached by Americans, is that this is unacceptable. And that's even more dangerous for the people, the powers that be. And they know that as people come to that conclusion, the other conclusion is that they need the guy who isn't going to go along with these policies. And that guy is not Biden. That guy is not Biden. And for all of RFK Jr.'s pluses, he is not necessarily associated as being the solution. Right. For all the plus sides of a potential RFK presidency, he is not the one associated with the policies that are the solution to the problems. Trump is. Border security. Well, RFK is for a secure border as well. But who's the border security guy? It's Trump. Immigration, that's Trump. Bring manufacturing back to the United States, oh, that's Trump. Trade policy, oh, that's Trump. Infrastructure, well, Trump promised that. We'll see. We'll see. You know, peace abroad. Trump, he's the guy. And not that RFK Jr. would start a war either. But again, Trump had the record of not starting any new wars and even getting us out of a couple engagements while he was there. So, again, for all the pros of a potential RFK presidency, he's just not associated. He's not the first person that comes to mind when you think of the solution to the problems that you face. If you're very politically involved and you're really paying attention to the candidates, then maybe he's going to be the first person you think of. Or maybe if you're just tired of Republicans versus Democrats, he's going to be the guy you go to. But for the regular everyday person, the guy that they think of when they think of the solution to these problems is inevitably going to be Donald Trump, because he was the guy to deal with these problems in a way that they now realize was actually to their benefit as American citizens. As we wake up to the scam that is open borders, the scam that is foreign interventionism, and the scam that is central banking. The century of scams is coming to a close, folks. And it's incredible to witness. I'll eventually have to get around to talking about how exactly the Israel-Iran, not the, oh, wow, the Israel-Palestine war is marking the end of the war on terror, which was an epiphany I had today, actually. I still have to piece my thoughts together on that one. But that is such a big shift, and it deserves a moment to talk about it. Like, I talk about how Ukraine is a major shift. The Israel-Palestine war will have really far-reaching and deep consequences as well, right? And I think I've articulated my thoughts on Ukraine better than what I've realized about Israel and Palestine. Because I did not think that it was that deep. But as we see public opinion changing, and as we see, actually last week, another piece of news was that at a Trump rally in Pennsylvania, these two guys, they started chanting, "Genocide Joe, Genocide Joe." And then the rest of the crowd starts chanting, "Genocide Joe," at a Trump rally. And Trump's response is, "They're not wrong. They're not wrong." This guy is going to walk away with all this Israel lobby money and isn't going to give a dime to Israel. By the time this is over, he's just going to walk off with all their money and go, "Well, there's no Israeli state, and, you know, what do you want me to do about it? I guess we're just going to take all this money and I'm going to keep it." You know. But that's insane. Name one other major figure who would even come close to insinuating that our support for Israel was a genocide. Now, granted, the irony is that he, right before this happened, he was talking about supporting Israel unconditionally. But I think he's more flexible than he's letting on. I think he's a lot more, especially with that other news that he's talking about, they need to end the war and they need to make a deal, a peace deal. I think he's a lot more flexible on Israel policy than a lot of people are giving him credit for. I think he's not the deal maker in chief for no reason. He did not write the book on making deals for no reason. He wants a deal. And war is getting in the way of his deal making. And, but yeah, I'll eventually get around to discussing just how deep the Israel-Palestine conflict and the consequences of that conflict is going to be, you know, before the consequences make themselves known, because then I'm just a commentator. I wanna get my thoughts out there so that you know that your boy was ahead of the curve on this one. But alas, more political persecution of Donald Trump, more vindication of him, which is what it really is. And if they put him in jail, he talks about being indicted one more time and he'll win the election. If they put him in jail, he's guaranteed a victory. He He will campaign from a jail cell, and he'll be the most gangster president in history. But we'll move away from that one for now.